Welcome to our program. Today we are in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 8, where we read, "Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence." What's the difference between wisdom and prudence? We'll have a look at it. The book of Ephesians talks a lot about our walk with the Lord, and the message, the song we're going to listen to says, "Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with his loving hand he leads the way. And with each breath I whisper, I adore thee. Oh, what joy to walk with him each day. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home.
Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with his loving hand he leads the way. And with each breath I whisper, I adore thee. Oh, what joy to walk with him each day. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground he ever leads me on. Until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. At times I feel my faith begin to waver when up ahead I see a chasm wide. It's then I turn and look up to my Savior. I am strong when he is by my side. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground he ever leads me on. Until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take leads me closer home. I trust in God, no matter come what may, for life eternal is in his hand. He holds the key that opens up the way that will lead me to the promised land. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground he ever leads me on. Until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. Until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me
I'm reading in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 8, where we read, "Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence." Wisdom and prudence. What's the difference? Well, wisdom is basically simply an accumulation of information, but prudence is cautiously making decisions, showing care and thought for the future. Now we read about Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. He had an accumulation of information. He had a lot of information. He had wisdom. However, what about prudence? What about him cautiously making decisions, caring about the future more than the present? Well, he didn't do that. And if you read his own testimony in Ecclesiastes, he says, "How dieth the wise man? As a fool." It's one thing to have wisdom. It's another thing to show care and thought for the future when we're making decisions. In verse number 9, we read, "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him." Now, he starts out here by saying he hath made known unto us. First of all, he says in Ephesians 1 and 9, he's made known unto us the mystery of his will. In Ephesians 3 and 3, Paul said, "He made known unto me the mystery." And then in Ephesians 3 and 5, it says there, "which in other ages was not made known." He didn't make known all of the situations in the past. We call it progressive revelation. For example, Romans 16, verse 24 says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest." For instance, we look in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel, and when Daniel received all of these visions, we read in Daniel 12 and verse number 4, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the end of the time of the end." Now he said, seal the book. But when we get into Revelation 22 and 10, he saith unto me, John said, he saith unto me, "Seal not the saying of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." And here in Ephesians 9, he says, having made known the mystery. Another example in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 7 in the New Testament, the disciples asked Jesus if he would restore the kingdom at that time. And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father has put in his own power." He said, "It's not for you to know." However, later in John 16, verse 12, when Christ was about to go back to heaven, he said, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come." And so now we are without excuse. We have the Lord given us the Holy Spirit, who will guide us into all truth and show us things to come. And then in verse number 11, we read, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Now, notice it says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance." We have, Christians have. Now, that word inheritance occurs in the Bible 239 times, an interesting study. However, we read in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 7, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." And so he speaks here of salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Understanding salvation, it's in three tenses: past, present, and future. Past, the penalty of sin. When we got saved, we were saved from the penalty of sin. If we want to, and if we take the advice that is given to us here in the book of Ephesians, We can be saved from the power of sin as Christians. And one of these days, and I think not too long down the road here, Jesus is coming back. We'll be taken out of this world and we'll be saved from the presence of sin. Now in verse 12, Paul said that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye Gentiles also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Now notice he says, we should be to the praise of his glory, that in whom ye also trusted. Now, who's he talking to? We, he's referring to the Jews. Paul was a Jew. He's speaking to the Gentiles. So he says, we received the blessings from God, and the Jews, of course, were his chosen people. But we read here, in whom ye Gentiles also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. And notice it says here in verse number 13, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You cannot lose your salvation if you indeed have been saved. Ephesians 1:15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, I cease not, he said, to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Wherefore, he said, I also, after I heard of your faith. Well, he said, I heard of your faith, and he said, I heard of your love, referring to these Ephesians. Now, the word, or the phrase, the faith, is in the Bible 42 times. The phrase, your faith, which we have here in this verse, is in the Bible 24 times. There's a major difference between the faith and your faith. What Paul wants is the faith to become your faith. Now, your faith is talking about what you believe, and what we believe dictates our behavior. We're going to look at this in more depth in the next program. And as we conclude this message, listen to this message in song. In loving kindness, Jesus came my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depth of sin and shame, through grace, he lifted me. And verse 4 says, now on a higher plane I dwell, and with my soul I know 'tis well.
In loving kindness, Jesus came my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me. Shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me. He called me long before I heard, before my sinful heart was stirred. But when I told at his word, forgive me, lifted me. His brow was pierced with many a thorn, his hands by cruel nails were torn. When from my guilt and